Hello and welcome to Radio Linguistica, DGT's knowledge sharing podcast, exploring themes and topics that are relevant to our everyday work. So this is a bit of a special episode today, as I am about to meet several DGT trainees who have accepted my invitation to speak about their experience as trainees in DGT. So we have arranged to meet in the Charlemagne building, and I see that here they are already waiting for me. So hi guys.
Hello.
Hi. How are you? Hello. Okay, so shall we go inside?
Yes.
Okay, so here we are in the Charlemagne cafeteria. So I have five DGT trainees with me. We're having a nice coffee. So we have Leonardo, we have Moritz, we have Chiara, we have Olga, and we have Sara. Thanks a lot to the five of you for joining and for taking a bit of time from the job fair that is organized today in the Charlemagne building to talk to me and to share your DGT trainee experience with me. So first, maybe, can you say a few words about yourself? You know, who wants to start?
Yeah, of course. Thank you for the invitation. So my name is Leonardo Müller. I applied for this traineeship like as a logical consequence of my life trajectory up until now. I grew up in a bilingual household. My late father, he was Swiss, German-speaking, and my mother is Croatian. So I basically grew up speaking multiple languages from an early age. Later on, I enrolled into a high school which focused mainly on language education, and later on, I enrolled in English and French studies at university, as well as a non-degree sinology program. So I basically speak French, German, English, Croatian, and, well, Mandarin, not fluently, but still.
My name is Moritz. I am from Belgium, currently living in Ghent. I ended up at DGT as mostly a consequence of my studies. I did a master's in translation with a thesis about terminology, which is how I first ended up at DGT. I did a one-month internship, and I really enjoyed the experience, so I signed up for the Blue Book program, and that's why I'm on this podcast right now.
Hi, I'm Chiara from DGT Italian Unit. I studied conference interpreting in Trieste as a master's. And I decided applying for this traineeship based on that experience, because when I was in Trieste, it's a very European-looking university. It's like it has lots of connections with the European Union. Most of the former students are working for the European Union or the related agencies. And we also did a European Master in Conference Interpreting. So we went to Brussels. We had a chance to train with real interpreters from the SCIC, so I was really fascinated by this environment. This is why I decided to apply.
Moi, c'est Sarah. Je suis aussi italienne, donc je travaille dans l'unité italienne. Donc j'ai fait ma licence, mon bachelier, ici à Bruxelles, à l'ULB. Et ensuite, j'ai fait un master en interprétation de conférences à Genève, en Suisse. L'Union européenne, c'est le rêve pour tous les interprètes de conférences italiens ou autres, je dirais. Donc,
Hello, my name's Olga. I come from Greece, from a very small village in the north of Greece. I have a bachelor's in translation and a master's in political and intercultural communication. So even during my undergraduate studies, we were highly encouraged to apply for this traineeship. I know a lot of people who were Blue Book trainees in the past. And having come here now, I'm super proud of my decision, and I wouldn't change it for the world. I think I'm gaining so many things here. And I've met people who are so motivational, and they can provide you with knowledge that you wouldn't gain if you stayed in your country. So even if it's a short period of time, I think it's worth it.
Yeah, I think it would be interesting to just to mention that Blue Book Trainee or Blue Book Traineeship means a 5-month traineeship, and that is a PET traineeship. So now my first question is, I'm wondering, what are the main tasks that you have to do in your respective unit? So we have a Croatian unit, Italian unit, we have Dutch unit, we have a Greek unit. What are your main tasks, and do they correspond to what you expected before your traineeships?
Je suis vraiment très contente de mon rôle, de ce que j'ai fait ces derniers mois. Il s'agit donc de traduire les sites web de la Commission européenne. Et donc, il peut s'agir de plusieurs plateformes. Si je ne m'abuse, Your Europe, c'est l'un des sites les plus consultés par les citoyens. Mais par exemple, je aussi traduis beaucoup de textes pour les pages EPSO, donc pour les postes pour lesquels on peut postuler, donc les candidatures possibles à l'Union européenne. Et puisque c'est fait pour le grand public, pour les citoyens, il faut viser un langage clair le plus possible. Et le but, c'est de rapprocher les gens des institutions, de rendre les institutions plus claires, plus transparentes. Des fois, les gens se demandent ce qui se passe bien à Bruxelles. Voilà, donc ça, c'est le but ultime et c'est très intéressant. Des fois, il faut simplifier le langage.
Alors, j'ai moi-même été traductrice web pendant des années, donc je suis tout à fait d'accord avec ta description, je dois dire. Et tu mentionnais Your Europe, le site Your Europe. Il y a peu, j'ai interviewé pour DGT Radio deux personnes qui s'occupent de Your Europe. Et effectivement, je peux confirmer que c'est jusqu'à 58 millions de visiteurs par an. Donc, c'est le deuxième site le plus visité, le deuxième site de l'Union européenne le plus visité. Et effectivement, le travail des traducteurs est de ce fait très apprécié. Does anybody else want to say something about their tasks? Yes?
I just want to give a little bit more context about the Italian unit, because I know that every language unit has different ways of organizing the work of the trainees. I think the Italian unit is a very good one because they are really well structured, well organized, and they always have 4 trainees. 2 in Brussels and 2 in Luxembourg, and one trainee in Brussels and one in Luxembourg, they are mainly tasked with the usual institutional texts, right? The other Sarah is doing this, and this is what I'm doing as well, so like the more traditional kind of texts, which I actually like because I never tried translating this kind of text before. And you also know that the special thing about the EU is that, as you know, all pieces of legislation are valid in all of the languages, so they really have to be precise and they have to adhere to the original so that every language is exactly the same value. And I think it's really interesting. My favorite texts are the trade ones for anti-dumping regulations. It's so interesting, very, very technical, but also something I think you would never get the chance to do outside of this place. And the other two trainees, so one in Brussels, Sarah, it starts with the web, as she just said. And the other, my colleague in Luxembourg, she's taking care of the IATE, so terminology department. It's also very interesting that they give us the chance, they give the chance to other trainees to experiment with the other trainees' tasks. For example, I just concluded my 2 weeks trial in the terminology unit, so I also had the chance to experience what it means to update the terms in IATE, to look up for definitions, for concepts, for translation. So it's very interesting. I never thought like that just for one IATE sheet, you need maybe, I don't know, one whole day just for one word, just to find one word and the definition, because they also have to come from reliable sources. So it's really a lot of work, and it's very interesting.
I have another question about the many activities that are organized for trainees and by trainees. I know that you have quite a busy agenda on top of translating, on top of terminology, on top of all the other things you are doing. You have a number of events and activities that you can attend, that you can go to. There are things that you organize yourselves, things that are organized by you, and others that are organized for you. So I know that Leonardo, you are the Are you the speaks persons for trainees in Luxembourg?
In Luxembourg, exactly. Yeah, so I'm the spokesperson for DGT trainees in Luxembourg, mm-hmm. and I'm also the treasurer for all the trainees in Luxembourg. So we organize a lot of events, a lot of trips, which add an extra value to this whole traineeship. And since we're in Luxembourg, we also often come to Brussels for day trips or whatever. For example, for the farewell conference, for the welcome conference, etc., which is all paid for by the commission. We get an allowance, sometimes they even pay for accommodation. We also visit other institutions, for example, the European Court of Justice. That's also like a half-day excursion, let's say. And sometimes we organize trips ourselves. We went to Strasbourg, to the European Parliament there. We went to Nancy, to Metz, and we're also going to Bruges and Ghent, if I'm not mistaken. Mm-hmm. And what kind of other activities do we have? There's so many
we
of them. So
we have classes.
Exactly. We also have a language subcommittee, so we organize classes for anyone who wants to learn another language. For example, I'm teaching Croatian to 4 great students.
I'm part of the happiness committee, subcommittee.
I'm more into the trip stuff.
Happiness committee?
It's called happiness subcommittee because we take care of organizing social events like birthday parties or any kind of party, bowling nights, ping pong tournaments, as I said, any kind of like things that involve with fun or sport. And I'm teaching a yoga and workout class.
Now, shall we say a few words about your life in Luxembourg and in Brussels, for those of you who stay in Brussels and Luxembourg, because I know that Moritz, you stay in Ghent, so you're not included in this conversation, but what's it like to live in Brussels? What's it like to live in Luxembourg? Is it difficult to find an accommodation? How expensive is it? Can you say a few words about this?
I am living here in Brussels with 9 more people in an apartment. For me, it was the best opportunity to have someone from the beginning to communicate with and to explore the city, meet other people who can navigate you through the hardships of moving to a different country. Someone said in the welcome conference that you can be the most European in this capital. It's the epitome of the European identity.
I can actually compare the two cities. I did an internship in Brussels like a few years ago. Brussels is definitely more exciting. There are more possibilities for young people, especially. It's just the public transportation here is a little bit chaotic compared to Luxembourg. It's not bad, of course, but just saying Luxembourg is... and the transportation there is free also in Luxembourg, which kind of compensates for... Yeah, which kind of compensates for the higher prices in Luxembourg also. But the weather is bad in both cities, so...
About the weather, it's been very cloudy since the beginning of November. So some days it's kind of depressing to look outside and not see the sun for weeks or sunlight, which is very depressing for people who come from Greece, Italy, etc. But it's very nice to go to a working environment where everyone is very smiley and they make you feel comfortable. So that always makes things better.
That leads me to my next question, which is how is life in the office? Do you telework a lot? Do you go to the office a lot? Do you have many colleagues who come to work to the office?
Well, so the life in the office, at least in the Dutch unit, is quite lively. We get together every day. It's a very tightly knit group, I would say. People are very welcoming. Most doors are open. I feel like every day, whenever I have a question, I can just knock on someone's door or even just walk in and they'll be glad to help me with almost anything, really. I do telework a little more than most people, I think, because I live in Ghent and commuting can get a little frustrating. But I wish I didn't, you know, because I really enjoy the office environment, getting together with people, also with the trainees from the other units.
Andres, who is here, who's our trainee in R4, so in my unit, told me the other day that for him, this traineeship was a bit like a second Erasmus experience. Mm-hmm. I don't know if you would agree with this. And what do you think are the highlights of your experience so far? And also, do you have aspects that you are disappointed about? Or what would you like to improve?
Let's address the elephant in the room. I think everyone would agree that, like, we would be happy if the allowances were a bit higher.
Highlights in one word.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
In one word.
Oof. Making lots of new friends, which is not one word, but yeah.
Okay. One word. Yeah, I would agree with friends.
Mm-hmm. Amazing work environment.
Okay. For me, it would be friends as well.
Mm-hmm. Everyone said friends, so I'm going to say trips. I mean, I agree with friends, but let's
So the last question I wanted to ask you was about machine translation. Did you study machine translation or did you use machine translation in your studies? And do you use it now in your respective units? And what do you think about it? How efficient, how useful is it for you?
Pour ma part, je n'ai pas utilisé de traduction automatique pendant mes études parce que pendant ma licence, on traduisait sur papier. C'était encore à l'époque, ouais, où on faisait ça. Et après, j'ai fait un master en interprétation où il n'y avait aucun cours de traduction écrite, donc ça ne pouvait pas être le cas. Par contre, du coup, ça a été une nouveauté pour moi de traduire sur Trazo Studio, mm-hmm. tout le temps. On nous a, je pense, très bien expliqué comment utiliser ces outils. Je dirais qu'après une semaine, on était opérationnel. Et pour ce qui est, voilà, c'est évidemment un outil très qui nous rend très efficace, plus efficace. Ce qui est nécessaire quand on connaît le volume de travail à la Commission européenne. Il faut se rappeler qu'on a 24 langues officielles. Et que tout n'est pas traduit, toujours, mais on essaye de traduire le plus possible. Et donc je dirais que c'est nécessaire. Des fois, j'ai l'impression que ça enlève un peu le plaisir de la créativité de la traduction. Évidemment, je ne parle pas de la traduction totalement automatisée, je parle plutôt des cat tools, des logiciels d'aide à la traduction qui nous permettent de ne pas devoir aller chercher à chaque fois, par exemple, des termes très spécifiques à l'Union européenne qui reviennent toujours et qui, du coup, sont dans la mémoire de traduction qu'on utilise quand on travaille. Donc ça nous permet de passer moins de temps à ces tâches-là. Par contre, des fois, oui, ça enlève la créativité, le plaisir de trouver nous-mêmes une solution, parce que des fois, c'est déjà tout fait. On se dit, bon, ça marche comme ça. OK, je passe à autre chose parce que j'ai d'autres textes. Après, ça a beaucoup changé, je pense, la nature du travail. Mm-hmm.
Okay. Unfortunately, the cafeteria is getting really noisy now that people have come to have lunch. But I don't know if anybody wants to say something still about machine translation.
So I work with machine translation daily. I've also seen machine translation in my master's and also in my postgraduate, which deals partially with machine translation, CAD tools, language technology, and some minor programming as well. And my experience with machine translation is I have some mixed feelings about it. It's very useful, it's very impressive. Sometimes I feel as though I'm a bit of a babysit for this machine that is already knows how to do most of the translation work, but there are still some minor kinks to be worked out. But then on other days I use it and what comes out doesn't really make sense at all. So yeah, very mixed results still, but it's very impressive. I think that as time goes on, it will only become more impressive. Some people will already know about the text generators that have become very popular in the past year, 2 years. The reality is that these tools will only become more impressive. But I think it's also important to remember that they don't have any real-world context and are ultimately still making up things up half the time. I also think that Sarah touched on some good points regarding creativity and the fun of translation. Like I mentioned, I feel like I'm a bit of a babysit sometimes, which is not what I started translating for. But yeah, it can take the fun out of it. And sometimes I find myself spending more time looking for mistakes, very subtle mistakes in a segment or in sentence that would not be there if I just translated myself the first time. So yeah, mixed feelings. But as time goes on, I don't know if we can avoid machine translation, especially with the volume of translations that the European Union has to work through every day.
I know that there's a kind of issue with texts written in English by non-native English speakers, and sometimes in a hurry. So I always find, but most of the time I find mistakes or incoherences, and this is something that the machine will never spot. Even if the machine translation is perfect, is very good, is impressive, but when there's a problem with the source text, then I think this is something.
Okay, I'm afraid this is getting really, really noisy now, so we'll have to stop because otherwise we won't. Yeah, I know. It was a very nice conversation. I really enjoyed talking to you. It was really super interesting. And I think I will let you go back to the job fair now, which was the main reason why you are here today. So enjoy your day. Okay, bye-bye. Bye, everybody.
Thank you.
So
thanks
much.
For this opportunity. Thank you.
Thank you.
Bye.
Bye.
This was Radio Linguistica, and I had the pleasure of talking to Chiara, Leonardo, Olga, Moritz, and Sarah. Thank you for listening. Don't hesitate to send us your comments and suggestions at dgt-radio@ec.europa.eu. That's dgt-radio@ec.europa.eu.